1 Thessalonians 3, starting in verse number 1 down through verse 10. The Bible says, "Wherefore, when we could no longer forbear, we thought it good to be left at Athens alone, and sent Timotheus, our brother and minister of God, and our fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ, to establish you and to comfort you concerning your faith, that no man should be moved by these afflictions. For yourselves know that we are appointed thereunto. For verily, when we were with you, we told you before that we should suffer tribulation, even as it came to pass, and you know. For this cause, when I could no longer forbear, I sent to know your faith, lest by some means the tempter have tempted you, and our labor be in vain. But now when Timotheus came from you unto us and brought us good tidings of your faith and charity, and that ye have good remembrance of us always, desiring greatly to see us as we also to see you. Therefore, brethren, we were comforted over you in all our affliction and distress by your faith. For now we live, if ye stand fast in the Lord. For what thanks can we render to God again for you, for all the joy wherewith we joy for your sakes before our God, night and day praying exceedingly that we might see your face and might perfect that which is lacking in your faith." Father, we come before you tonight, and we're grateful for the opportunity to be able to open your word. I thank you for the faithfulness of your church to come back on a Sunday night after the busy morning we had this morning, Lord, to fellowship and to hear your word taught once again. And God, I pray that you would give us a hunger to learn your truth. And this passage of Scripture, as many passages in 1 Thessalonians have been the case, is one I've never heard preached on before, but such a rich and wonderful truth that you have given to us by this example in the Scripture. And I pray, God, that you would speak to our hearts through it and give us this kind of heart for the people that you have entrusted under our care. And I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. Well, I'm going to switch microphones here, and we'll dive into our study here today. I want to preach to you tonight from this passage of Scripture, a passage of Scripture that I believe what is conveyed to us here is the pastor's heart, or we could say the shepherd's heart. Many times a pastor in the Scripture is referred to as an under-shepherd. Jesus Christ is the chief shepherd of the church. But there are men whom God entrusts with the responsibility to pastor. And they are his under-shepherds, serving his individual local congregations all over the world. And it's interesting, as we've studied through 1 Thessalonians, we looked at the history first, and we found out that this first epistle to the Thessalonians was very likely the first letter that Paul penned out of all the letters that he penned. And I believe, as I study it further, that this is certainly the case. And we've looked at the history of the church when it was established there in Thessalonica. Paul, God had moved Paul not to go into Asia, but to go into Macedonia. And when he went up into Macedonia, he stopped through Philippi, and he got chased out of there. And then he went on to Thessalonica. And the Bible indicates that when he went there, he preached the gospel, and a multitude of Jews and Gentiles were saved and brought to the faith. And there was explosive growth that happened there in the church in Thessalonica. The only problem was the same thing that had happened at Philippi began to happen at Thessalonica. The leaders who opposed the gospel of Christ, the secular leaders in Thessalonica, caught wind of what was happening, and they persecuted Paul and his team, and they once again chased them out of the city of Thessalonica. And so, as we've studied, we've learned that Paul's ministry there, it didn't last very long at all. I believe, the more I've looked at it, that it was a matter of 3 to 4 weeks, a month, that Paul had been there in the city of Thessalonica, and all these people had been saved, and all this great work of God had been done, but he was there, and then he was gone, forced out because of the persecution that was taking place there. And it's interesting, Paul now is writing back to this church. This church to whom God had given him great favor in seeing it established. To these young believers who he left, I am certain, far sooner than he wanted to leave them.
And that was by the will of God. He's writing back to these believers here. And his heart was deeply moved for the spiritual welfare of these people. And you can sense that in the words that we just read from the Scripture. The concern, the care that Paul had for these people that he loved so dearly. And so what is recorded for us here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, it gives us a glimpse of a pastor's heart, or a shepherd's heart. Barclay, in his commentary, he described this text as the very essence of the spirit of the pastor. And that is what is being described for us here. And I'll just say, after having pastored for 9 years, and before that I was a youth pastor and can certainly relate with pastoral care for young people and families. And after all these years, and I just feel like still like I'm just getting started, I will say, though, I do believe I understand a little bit of what it means to have a pastor's heart. And I have experienced much of what the Apostle Paul describes in this passage of Scripture. The heart of a shepherd is ever attentive to the needs of his sheep. And the heart of a pastor is ever attuned and wondering and concerned about the needs of his people. I want you to understand and perhaps pull back the curtain and allow us to look into a little bit of what a pastor's heart looks like. On any given day, lots of things can happen, and I know that some of these things I'll talk about are true for all of us, but I'll say this, as a pastor, when somebody in this body is hurting, I'm hurting with them. When somebody in this body is rejoicing, I want to be rejoicing with them. There have been many days where it feels like a raging conflict of emotions. Of somebody that just saw a miracle happen in their family, talking to me at 1 minute, and the next minute I'm getting a phone call from somebody who's mad at so-and-so. The next minute I get a text message from somebody who says, well, we got the test result back and it looks like it's cancer. It just seems like so many times there's just a huge range of burdens and blessings and all of these things that take place, and all of them are things that people like to share with their pastor. And that's a good thing. But I think that in reading what the Apostle Paul, and studying what he has to say here, it helps us to understand the burden and the constant weight that comes upon the pastor in the exercise of his duty. And so what exactly goes on in the heart of someone who serves in a pastoral role? That's what we begin to see. And there is, in this letter written from a pastor to his people, a fourfold description of the pastor's heart, or the shepherd's heart. I want us to look at it together. First off, I want you to see that the shepherd's heart is a heart of concern. It is a heart of concern. We'll look at verses 1 through 5 again, where the Bible says, wherefore, when we could no longer forbear, we thought it good to be left at Athens alone, and sent Timotheus, our brother and minister of God and our fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ, to establish you and to comfort you concerning your faith, that no man should be moved by these afflictions, for yourselves know that we were appointed thereunto. For verily, when we were with you, we told you before that we should suffer tribulation, even as it came to pass. And you know, for this cause, when I could no longer forbear, I sent to know your faith, lest by some means the tempter have tempted you, and our labor be in vain. Now, let me say, first and foremost, the heart of a pastor is concerned about the needs of those who are entrusted to his care. Let me just take a little sidebar here and say, not all of us are called to be a pastor of the church, but in some respects, all of us are given spiritual responsibility over certain people in our lives. And I want you to understand that these applications, while I believe it is directly speaking of a pastor, I believe that many of these applications can relate to all of us, and our role of spiritual care in the lives of people that God has entrusted to us. And so think about that as we look at these things. But the pastor's heart is first and foremost concerned with the needs of those who are entrusted under his care. A couple weeks ago, Brother Reese preached from Matthew chapter 9 about the heart of the Lord in Matthew 9 and verse number 36, who when he looked on the multitudes, the Bible says that his heart was moved with compassion on them because they perished as sheep having no shepherd. And he was moved to compassion as he looked on the needs and the concerns of the people who were around him. And I can relate so much with that as a pastor, because in much the same way, the needs of the people move the heart of the pastor to respond in certain ways. Like it said in Lamentations chapter 3 and verse number 51, the prophet said, "Mine eye affects my heart." Mine eye affects my heart. And oftentimes, that's where we live. And so as Paul looked at the needs of the Thessalonican church, he was moved to make certain decisions. And the first thing I want you to note down is that he was moved to sacrifice. His heart of concern moved him to sacrifice. In verses 1 and 2, the Bible indicates this sacrifice for us. In verse number 1, it says again, "Wherefore, when we could no longer forbear," they could not keep themselves from doing something, "we thought it good to be left alone, left at Athens alone." We begin to see the sacrificial heart of Paul on display and the words that he begins to pen here. You see, after Paul had been chased out of Thessalonica for preaching the gospel, he went on to Berea. And he wasn't there very long until the leaders of Thessalonica came over to Berea and chased him out of there as well. And from there, Paul left Timothy and Silas, his ministry partners, and he went down to Athens alone. And while he was in Athens, he began to see a good opportunity there and the potential for a church to get started. And so he sent a letter to Timothy and he sent a letter to Silas to come down with all speed and join him in Athens, because it looked like there was a good opportunity for gospel ministry there and he needed help. But as he was sitting there in Athens waiting for his partners in the ministry to come, the indication of the scripture and what Paul's saying here tells us that he had a change of heart. His heart began to become so heavy, wondering, what about the Thessalonians? What about those people? I was only with them for 3 weeks. I wonder if they're staying with it. I wonder how they're doing. And his heart just began to get heavier and heavier and heavier until he said, "I couldn't put up with it anymore. I could not endure it anymore. I had to know how you were doing." And though he needed help in the ministry at Athens, and he had a burden to start a church there, his burden for the people at Thessalonica was so much greater than the burden he had for starting a church in Athens. And so Timothy no sooner had gotten on his way to come join Paul in Athens until he got in contact with him again and said, "Timothy, don't come to me. You go back to Thessalonica. I want you to check on those people. And I want you to see how they're doing." He was moved to make a sacrifice here. You say, what was the sacrifice? The sacrifice was Paul had no help. Listen, a lot of times we talk about the 90-10 rule in the church. You know, 10% of people do 90% of the work. Well, imagine being Paul in that circumstance. It was Paul and Silas and Timothy against the whole city. He didn't have any help. He's taking his right-hand man, a man that he viewed as one of his dear brothers, as his son in the faith, as a co-laborer in the work of the Lord, a man who was a fellow minister. Listen, he wasn't just the average Joe in the church. This was a guy who was capable to teach, capable to preach, capable to do things that were indispensable and so helpful to the ministry of Paul. And yet Paul said, told the Thessalonican church, "You are more important than me having all the help that I need. I wanted to make sure that you all are okay." And so we see that his heart of concern for these people moved him to make this great sacrifice, even of giving up some of the help that he had for the work of the ministry. And let me say, it is ever the heart of someone who serves in a pastoral role to make any sacrifice that is necessary to make sure that the people who are under his care are taken care of. There's a verse of scripture you can write down here, 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse number 15, where the Apostle Paul, in another book that he wrote, the Lord used him to write, he said, "I will very gladly spend and be spent for you. Though the more abundantly I love you, the less I be loved." And Paul's heart was, it doesn't matter how much it takes for me. It doesn't matter how much sacrifice I have to make. And mind you, this was coming from a man who, for most of his ministry, he was a church planner. He was never, that we know of, fully supported by any of the churches that he started. He was a bivocational pastor. He worked to make money, to put food on his own table, and he served in ministry. And he did both of them at the same time. Both of them were full-time jobs. But both of them were necessary. He was willing to make any sacrifice necessary so that the work of the gospel and the people of the Lord could go forward. And so his heart of concern moved him to sacrifice. But there's a second thing it moved him to do. His heart of concern moved him to want to strengthen the church. Moved to strengthen. And there was a particular reason that Paul indicated he had been so moved to sacrifice for these dear people. If we look at verse number 2, the Bible says that Paul sent Timotheus, our brother and minister of God and fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ. And here's why: to establish you and to comfort you concerning your faith. Paul's heart was moved to send Timothy to them sacrificially in order to strengthen them. The word used there, one of the words used there, is to comfort them. He wanted Timothy to go there to comfort them. The Greek word is parakaleo. It means to come alongside and to encourage, or to put strength in, to put courage in to someone else. That's why he sent Timothy there, to strengthen the believers. As we read on, we move on to verse number 3, and we find the Bible says that no man should be moved by these afflictions. And I find that to be very interesting. The word "move" there, it literally talks about being agitated or being troubled. And Paul was concerned for these believers that they remain spiritually strong in the midst of all the difficulties that they were having to face for their faith in Jesus Christ. And you go back to Acts and you look at what Paul went through. The leaders of the city were persecuting him, and by extension, the leaders of the city had begun to persecute the church at Thessalonica. Now, we don't know all of what they were doing. We don't know of how far the persecution was going, but there could be no doubt that they were facing severe persecution in their own city just for faith, but just for their faith in Jesus Christ. And Paul thought about those believers who he'd left behind. He'd been chased out of there, and he wanted to send Timothy back to put strength back in them, to put some wind back in their sails, and to encourage them to be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Now, there's an interesting phrase that's given to us here in verse 3. As he sends Timothy to put strength back in these people, he indicates that they needed this encouragement because of the afflictions they were having to go to. And he says something about those afflictions at the end of verse 3. Look at what he said. He says, "For yourselves know that we are what? Appointed thereunto." Destined. That's what it means. We are appointed to affliction. Verse 4 goes on to say, "For verily when we were with you, we told you before that we should suffer tribulation, even as it came to pass." And you know, Paul had told them that they were going to get persecuted, the preachers, the ministry team. But he'd also turned around to the church and said, if you want to stand for the faith of Jesus Christ, you better expect that sometimes there's going to be opposition. Sometimes it's going to require sacrifice on your part. Can I tell you that still hasn't changed today? Jesus gave us the promise in John chapter 16 and verse 33. He said, "These things have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world." Jesus said, in the world you will have tribulation. Later, Paul wrote in the last book of the Bible, God used him to write 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 12. He said, "Yea, all who will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution." You can be sure about it. Just because you're a Christian doesn't mean that your life is going to be easy. In fact, just the opposite is true. God assures us that we will undoubtedly face difficulties, and sometimes we will face difficulties for no other reason than the fact that we are true believers in Jesus Christ. And Christians will face difficulties that the people in this world are oftentimes not subjected to at all. And yet Jesus calls us to still follow Him. And here's the thing. The heart of a pastor is ever moved to breathe spiritual strength into the life of those who are entrusted under his care. A couple weeks ago, I was sitting at lunch with a man from our church, and I don't believe that he'll mind me sharing this, but there's going to be no way that I can hide who it was. It was Greg Tripp. And we had just had a men's prayer breakfast, and Greg was really stirred up about some of the things that we talked about there, and he wanted to talk to me about it, and he wanted to talk about growing in his faith and all of these things, and I was so excited, and I still am so excited for him. And we went away from that lunch together, and boy, I was pumped up for what God was doing in his heart. And it wasn't 3 days later that he called me, and to both of our horror, his wife had suddenly and tragically passed away. Rhonda. And boy, I was so grieved for him. I rushed over to his house and I sat there with him for I don't know how long. I can't imagine going through that circumstance. But I remember in the days following, my mind going back to that lunch and thinking, God's working in his heart, and here this circumstance happens. And as a pastor, I'm thinking, I want to put strength in him. Because this is the kind of thing that deflates so many people. This is the kind of thing, as someone starts to grow, this happens, and they say, well, if that's what Christianity is all about, if I'm trying to live for God and God lets something like this happen to me, then I'm just going to quit. That's a common response that some people would have. And as a pastor, I'm thinking, no, I want to be there beside this man, and I want to strengthen this man, and I want to help this man stand in his resolve to make those decisions that he had made at that prayer breakfast in spite of the difficulties that he's having to go through. I have no doubt that's exactly what Paul had in mind when he thought about these Thessalonians. Yes, you're going through difficulty. You got saved. You started to grow. And then all this tough stuff started to happen to you. And so I'm sending Timothy to you. My heart is moved in concern for you because I want to put strength in you with the difficulties that you're having to go through. So he was moved to sacrifice. He was moved to strengthen. But I see a third truth. He was moved to stabilize. He was moved to stabilize. If you look again at verse number 3, the Bible tells us in verse number 3 that no man should be moved. The end of verse number 2, he said he sent Timothy to them to establish you and to comfort you concerning your faith. Paul was concerned about the spiritual stability of the saints that were there in Thessalonica. And he knew that there was someone who was very crafty, who was going to be working to try to lead them into doubt and into departing from their faith. In verse number 5, he said, "For this cause, when I could no longer forbear, I sent to know the state of your faith, lest by some means the tempter," that's Satan, "the tempter have tempted you, and our labor be in vain." Here we see Paul was very aware of the spiritual warfare that was taking place against these believers. And so in verse 2, another reason he said he had sent Timothy to them was not only to comfort them, but the Bible says there in verse 2, to establish you in your faith. That word establish, it's therizo. And it literally means to make someone stable or to confirm someone in their faith. And let me just say, Paul's heart for these people as they were going through these difficulties and their minds might have been reeling with what's true, what's not true. Ever since I became a Christian, it just seems like nothing but difficulty has been coming my way. And all these questions were going through their mind, and so he wanted to send Timothy to them to stabilize them. That was his heart. The heart of a spiritual minister is ever concerned with making people stable in their faith. For the marriage that is unstable, the spiritual minister wants to assert himself into someone's life and help stabilize the marriage. For a child, a young person who has become unstable, making poor decisions, it's ever the heart of a pastor or a youth pastor to want to assert themselves into their lives, to want to bring stability before life-altering decisions are made. That's what we're talking about here. Now, how do you bring stability into someone's life? Well, Paul says the way they did it is they wanted to go there to establish them, but what were they establishing them with? Well, the truth is, Paul and Timothy were seeking to ground or establish the people of God with the Word of God. All right? There's a passage, it's in Ephesians chapter number 4. If you want to turn there, you can, or I'll quote it to you. You can write it down, look it up later. Ephesians 4, verses 14 through 16. It says that we henceforth be no more like children, tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Instead of being like children tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine and every difficult circumstance that comes along, Paul told the Ephesians church, I want to speak the truth to you in love. And as you come to understand the truth, you become established in the truth. And then you get to a place where you know the truth and you can grow yourself building upon the truth that you've had laid as a foundation for your life. And that's what Paul sent Timothy to do, to remind them of the truth. To help them, help to confirm them in the truth. And so the heart of a pastor, the heart of a spiritual minister is a heart of concern for the people of God. Now, moving on from there, I don't know how far we're going to get into this, but that was the one that God really burdened my heart about right there. The second manifestation of the heart of a pastor we see is this. There's a heart of concern, and then there is a heart of comfort. A heart of comfort. Look at verses 6 through 8. You're still with me? Say amen. Amen. The Bible says in verse 6, but now when Timotheus came from you unto us and brought us good tidings of your faith and charity, and that you have good remembrance of us always, desiring greatly to see us as we also to see you, therefore, brethren, we were what? Comforted. We were comforted over you in all our affliction and distress by your faith. For now we live if ye stand fast in the Lord. Not only did he have a heart of concern for them, but here we begin to see that he had a heart of comfort over them as he began to hear about their state and the good things that God was doing in them and the growth that they were experiencing. Boy, Timothy had gone to visit them, but when Timothy had sent word back and when Timothy had come back to Paul, he had nothing but good to report about how the people were doing. And that brought comfort to the heart of Paul. And we see several ways his heart was comforted. First, we see that he was comforted by their status. He was comforted by their status. Verse number 6 says, but now when Timothy came from you unto us and brought us good tidings. Now that's the word for gospel. All right, good news. Brought us good tidings of your faith and charity. And I love this. Paul was so concerned about how the people were doing. And he was so comforted when he found out they had stayed true to the faith. And they had stayed true to living a life of charity. That is love in action. They were living out their faith, in other words. And it brought so much comfort to Paul's heart. I'll tell you, there have been many times someone maybe misses a couple weeks of church. And sometimes it may take me a couple weeks to notice. But someone may be missing a couple weeks of church, and I'll begin to wonder. I wonder how they're doing. I wonder what's going on in their life. And I can relate with this. So often I've checked in on somebody and realized, well, they're doing great. Maybe they just went on vacation. Maybe they just had sickness in the home or whatever the case may be, but it brings comfort to a spiritual leader's heart to know that though you may not know everything that's going on in someone's life all the time, but to know that they're sticking with the stuff, to know that they are walking with the Lord and that they're growing in their faith, it brings comfort to the heart of a spiritual minister. And so he was comforted by their status. I see this as well. He was comforted by their spirit. Comforted by their spirit. Look at verse number 6. In the middle of the verse, he says, that ye have good remembrance of us always, desiring greatly to see us, as we also to see you. Paul was comforted by their spirit. Let me let you in on something that you already knew, but needs to be said anyways. Pastors are normal people. All right? Anybody who serves in any scope of spiritual leadership, we're normal people just like anybody else. You know what? When Paul didn't hear from the Thessalonians, when Paul wasn't sure about how they were doing, he wasn't just wondering how they were doing in their walk with the Lord. I'm certain by the words that he just wrote, he was also thinking, are they mad at me? I mean, I was there for 3 weeks and then I left. Maybe they think he's a coward. We had to stay here and go through all this, but he left us. And he began to wonder what their spirit was to him. One of the things that comforted his heart is that when he finally got in touch with them again, he got the news that, boy, they missed him. They wanted him to come back, as he also wanted to be able to go back and visit them as well. And he was comforted by their spirit. There have been so many times through the years that someone stops coming. And just seems like they start getting more and more distant. And I've had it go both ways. I'll be honest. I've had it go both ways. Where sometimes the distance is because an offense took place or whatever the case may be. But boy, there have been sometimes people have left and I never got to know why. Sometimes people have left our church. That always grieves my heart as a pastor because I'd like to know why. But it also brings comfort to my heart. Even when people leave, it always comforts my heart to know why. Maybe it's just the state of life that they're in right now. But to have that communication, it's so important. And Paul, it brought comfort to Paul's heart to have that communication. Some of you understand this as adult parents better than what I understand right now at the phase of life I am in right now. But when your kids will at least just call you and let you know how they're doing. Let you know where they're at. Let you know that they care. And really, it's all about that communication. And the point is that when Paul found out that all of his human insecurities were unfounded and that this church was still had a good spirit towards him and were receptive to his ministry as he was to them, it brought comfort to his heart. He was comforted by their status. He was comforted by their spirit. Here's the third thing I see he was comforted by. He was comforted by their standing. He was comforted by their standing. Look at verse number 7. The Bible says, therefore, brethren, we were comforted over you in all our affliction and distress by your faith. Now get the picture here. Paul was so concerned over this church because of all the troubles that they were going through. But when he found out how good they were doing and how much they were growing, listen, Paul was also going through difficulty. And he told the church, you are an encouragement to me in the tough stuff that I'm going through. You're sticking with it through all the things that you're having to go through, and that encourages me to keep going with the things that I'm going through as well, church. And it encouraged his heart to learn from the example of these believers. And then he said in verse number 8, for now we live if you stand fast in the Lord. Let's say that verse out loud together. Verse number 8. He said, for now we live if you stand fast in the Lord. He was comforted by their standing. They were standing fast in the Lord. They were staying true to the things of God. And it brought so much comfort to his heart. I'll say, as a pastor, one of the biggest concerns that many pastors have is when somebody begins to allow themselves to be led astray, by things that are not true. Whether it be a televangelist, whether it be a movement on social media or online or whatever the case may be, it's easy in the society we live in today to get swayed away from standing in the things of the truth of God's word. And the devil's very deceptive about it. But oh, what a comfort it is to know that God's people are standing in God's truth. And it comforted Paul's heart. And so we see a pastor's heart is a heart of concern. It is a heart of comfort. We must hasten to finish this. The third element I want you to see is that it is a heart of celebration. A heart of celebration. Look at verse number 9 with me. He says, "For what thanks can we render to God again for you, for all the joy wherewith we joy for your sakes before our God." He begins to express the joy that he was experiencing after hearing all the wonderful things that God was doing among this church that he had poured his life into. We see a heart of celebration on display here in two different particular ways. First off, we see it in a desire to repay. In verse number 9, he says, "For what thanks can we render to God again for you?" There was a desire to repay, render to God again. And the desire to repay was to repay thanksgiving to the Lord for what God had done among the church there. You see, don't miss this. Paul knew that the reason they were growing, and the reason that that church was in existence, wasn't because he had done anything, but it was because God had done something there. And because God had continued to do an amazing work there. And the celebration that's coming from his heart is coming from a debt of gratitude. Hey, how can I thank God for what he's done in your life? Listen, I just made a little investment in your life, but you took that little investment and God worked in your life, and you're growing and you're thriving. And a church that was established in just a month and the pastor left was still growing and thriving and not falling by the way. How can you explain that? Because Jesus promised, "I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." And I've got news for you. There is no man that is indispensable for the work of the Lord to go forward. I'm not indispensable to this church, and neither are you. If I'm dead and gone tomorrow, I have every confidence in the power of our God that this church will continue to thrive and that this church will continue to go forward. Because it's Christ that builds his church. Not a man. And Paul was saying, how can I possibly find a way to repay God with my gratitude for what I'm hearing about what he's doing among you? And he's talking about this desire to repay gratitude to the Lord. But then I see this as well. He had a desire to rejoice as well. In verse number 9, at the end of the verse, he said, "For what thanks can we render?" And he said at the end of the verse, "For all the joy wherewith we joy for your sakes before our God." Now there's two different words for joy used there. He's talking about the spiritual experience of joy. And then the second use of the word joy could also be translated as rejoice. For what joy could we rejoice? Rejoice for your sakes before our God? Basically what he was saying, he heard about all the things that God was doing among these people, and it caused his heart to be filled with joy. And then he'd think on it a little bit more, and he'd rejoice in it again. Man, I just can't. That guy, I remember leading that guy to the Lord. I can't believe he's still sticking with it. I'm sure these are the kind of things he was thinking about. I mean, if you would have known him when I met him on that street, man, you'd never thought that guy would have gotten saved. But he's a deacon in the church now. Now, I don't know that these are the particulars of what has happened, but just imagine with me if you would. He's rejoicing. And he can't contain himself as he thinks about all the awesome things that God has continued to do among the church. And boy, as a pastor, I can say through the years, what a privilege it has been to be able to celebrate the victories that God has brought about. I'm looking at a congregation of people, And you're looking right back at me, by the way, because there's been some miracles that God has wrought in my life that helped me grow through the years, and you've seen that as well. But I'm looking at so many of you, God has worked some miracles in your life. God has transformed your life. God has brought victories in your life. Just the fact that you're sitting here for some of you is a miracle tonight. And boy, how could I repay God? How could I stop rejoicing for the things that God has done among us? And He's not done yet. We're still growing. There's still new people being saved. There's still new people being brought to the Lord. And friends, this causes us to be filled with a debt of gratitude and a heart of desiring to rejoice again and again in what God has done and what He's going to continue to do. So the heart of a pastor is a heart of celebration. And finally, I see the heart of a pastor is a heart of care. Is a heart of care. Verse 10, he said, night and day, praying exceedingly that we might see your face and might perfect that which is lacking in your faith. Night and day, continually, Paul bore on his heart a care for the church, for the people that made up that church in Thessalonica. He was caring for them. And we see this care manifested in two ways we'll look at before we're done. First off, we see it was a care for their presence. A care for their presence. Look at verse 10. He said, night and day, praying exceedingly that we might what? See your face. He wanted to see them. Paul's heart was torn because he wanted to spend time with them. He wanted to be with them. I don't know how often I've said this as a pastor, but I really do want to be with every single one of you. But I know that I can't every single week. And I can relate with that heart of wanting to be with God's people. And our church isn't very large, but the bigger we've gotten, the harder it seemed to get. When we were a little bit smaller, it didn't seem like it was as hard to get around and spend time with everybody. But as we've continued to grow, it's been more and more challenging. And it's not just we've continued to grow. The Burkett family's continued to grow as well. All right, it's like carrying a circus around everywhere I go. Okay, it's fantastic. I love it. I wouldn't trade it for anything. It just presents its own challenges and difficulties. All right. And the truth is, Paul had a heart. He wanted to be with them. He wanted to be in their presence. And that was something that was continually on his heart. Why? Because you know what? I don't know how you are, but I struggle with talking on the phone with people. The thing I probably hate worse than anything in the world is texting. Now, you can't have a good conversation with anyone over text messages. You say, I do it all the time. Okay, well, maybe you can. But I can't do that. But you know what? When I can get face to face with someone, life on life, heart on heart, that's when you can really have a conversation with somebody. And Paul's heart of care moved him to want to be with the people of God. He had a care for their presence. By the way, sometimes, and I'll just put this in here, sometimes in your area of spiritual ministry, whether it be, maybe it's your family, maybe it's people that work for you, okay, maybe it is your ministry, you're a ministry leader or your small group, sometimes what will do a world of good for you is to cancel some things, to change some things up to where you can just spend time together. It could do a world of good for you. Because sometimes what people need more than anything else is not what you do for them, but you. They need you. Your kids, you know how they spell love? T-I-M-E. They need you. They don't need you to go to work tomorrow and, well, I put food on the table for them. Well, they need that. But sometimes what they need more than you going to work, sometimes what they need more than you running them around to all the things is just to put aside some of the things and be together. Your presence. Sometimes that's what they need. I wasn't planning to say that, but the Lord wanted me to say it, so there it is, okay? And there's a reason for it, I dare say. So he had a care for their presence. And the final thing I see is that his heart of care moved him to care for their progress as well. To care for their progress. Look at verse 10. The end of the verse, he said, night and day praying. And the end of the verse says that we might perfect that which is lacking in your faith. He wanted to perfect that which was lacking in their faith. He had a heart of care that moved him to want to help them come to perfection. The word perfect there is the Greek teleos that talks about bringing something to completion, to helping someone grow, helping someone grow to the fruition, to the place that God wants them to be. He's talking about spiritual growth here, and the heart of a spiritual leader is ever caring about the spiritual progress of the people whom God has entrusted under His care. And he wanted to be there with them so that he could help them continue to grow the way that God wants them to grow. Now, every week of my life, I strive to pray for every person at Lighthouse Baptist Church. Sometimes it takes me a couple weeks to get the new people's names down, okay? But by the way, praying for everybody every week helps me get to know new people's names. There's been many times I've met someone, I've never met them, but I've already prayed for them because their name is on my prayer list. And I'll meet them and say, oh yeah, I know you. How do you know me? I prayed for you. And so I strive to pray for everybody that is a part of this church. And I'll just explain something to you. I told you I'm going to pull the curtain back and tell you what goes on in a pastor's heart. Oftentimes when I'm praying, God works in my heart in thinking about some of you, and I am wondering, are you growing spiritually? Where are you at? I noticed some things last Sunday, gave me a little bit of concern. I'm going to pray for them a little bit more. Those are the types of things that often comes to the mind of a pastor, because it never goes away. There's always this care. Are they growing? Are they thriving? Where are they at spiritually? That's what's inside a pastor's heart. Maybe this was for me more than it was anybody else, before anybody else tonight. But I wanted to help you understand, by Paul's example, the heart of a pastor. It's a heart of concern. Always concerned about the needs and burdens that the people of God are carrying, and that then that they would stay faithful to the Lord and not be moved to compromising from the truth of God. It's a heart of comfort often, as you might be concerned for someone, then you get a visit with them and you find out, boy, they are growing. Boy, they are doing really well. And not only that, but so often, my heart is comforted. I learn from you all every single day. And the things that God is doing in your life, it challenges me. That's the same thing that Paul referenced here. It's a heart of comfort. It's a heart of celebration. As God grows us and helps us overcome sin and challenges and difficulties, and we see family members and friends come to know Christ as Savior, boy, we can joy and rejoice in what God is doing in each one of our lives. And then it is a heart of care. And the care never stops. It never stops. But that's the type of heart that Paul had. That's the type of heart that every minister of the Lord should have. And let me say this as well. That's the type of heart that every one of us should have for the people God has entrusted under our care. So when it comes to your family, when it comes to those who work for you, when it comes to those in your small group, when it comes to those in your ministry, is this the kind of heart that you have to them, towards them? I dare say, as you think about that, some of us have some areas we need to grow in. And I hope that you'll allow the Lord to work in your life about those things.